Welcome back to The Evolution of a Snake. I'm Zach.
And I'm Madeline.
And this is Taylor Talk. We haven't done one of these in a while. It's also Eras Tourzology Part 2. Because what happened, Madeline?
The Eras Tour kicked off in Paris and she said, you know what? Throw out the drawing board, boys. Let's start over.
I'm going to fuck shit up.
I'm going to go ahead and just fuck everything up for you guys so you don't know what's going to happen. It was really fun. Watching it live actually was really, really fun because it was like, as soon as she did Red instead of doing Evermore, I was like, what's she doing? Of course,
what's going on?
That was not exactly what I wanted to happen, but that was okay.
Did you notice the Tortured Poets edition in the Cruel Summer intro?
I was like in the Discord. We were doing the live stream and like people were watching and they said, oh my God, she said the Tortured Poets bar, the Tortured Poets bar. And I was like, I didn't hear it. And then people kept saying, no, she said, what does she say in the Alchemy? What if I told you I'm back? I was like, I didn't hear that either. I didn't hear anything.
I told you I'm back is the new It's Been a Long Time Coming.
Wait a second. Really? Did she replace It's Been a Long Time Coming?
No.
Oh,
she definitely didn't. Spiritually.
Okay, I was going to say, I was like, now hold on. We don't need to be doing that.
It has been a long time coming. It's been 2 months since I've seen the Eras Tour. I'm waiting. I am waiting.
Waiting.
Get me back there. I'm sick of not being at the goddamn Eras Tour. So why don't we talk first about the songs that were axed from the set list. The Archer. Nobody cried. No one cried.
No, I didn't.
Not a single person.
I knew it was going. Mm-hmm. I was like, she has to know that's a moment that nobody cares about.
She knew that it would eventually go as soon as she put it on the set list.
Right.
The real crime here is removing Long Live. Now, why would you punish the people of the world like this?
Yeah, that was kind of – I was wondering today when I was thinking about it. I was like, I wonder if she thinks that that song is only, important to, American fans or something like that, in spite of the fact that apparently 25% of the people who were at Paris are American fans. So that's interesting.
That's true.
I don't know what she's thinking or why, or maybe she was like, that was just something special I did. And it's like, you know you're being accused of hating Speak Now, and the accusations just only get stronger. Because now you made it even shorter.
What adds insult to injury to me is that Enchanted is not even full. It's literally like a part of Enchanted. So I'm like, why even bother tantalizing the crowd with Speak Now if you're not going to give her flowers? And right. You know what? I mean, I love Enchanted so much, but like Long Live, give that to me in full actually instead, because that's the Speak Now moment. That's the fan moment. It is so fun singing that song with other fans in the crowd. I just don't get why she cut that. And I mean, all the omissions, there are some pretty egregious ones. But like, why did we leave the midnight set completely intact? That's what baffles my mind.
I think in her little brain, she's thinking, well, I already toured Speak Now and I already toured Red and I already toured Fearless. So
no.
I better do Midnight. I mean, but I say that. And then meanwhile, Red gets a 45-minute set. So
what's the truth?
That's not the truth, Ellen. Like, what is the fucking truth? It's kind of irritating. I mean, I guess it's like, if I had to say anything to do anything to the midnight set that I think would make a lot of people happy, change the songs. Yeah. Anybody else kind of sick of the same old same? Anybody else sick?
If we're being honest with ourselves, we don't need Midnight Rain. If we were cutting other things to accommodate Long Live, we don't need Midnight Rain. We don't need Vigilante shit. And as much as I love Mastermind, we also don't need Mastermind. Do Lavender Haze, Antihero, Bejeweled, and Karma, and we're fine. Like, it doesn't need to be much longer than that.
No. And it's kind of like the sets that are really long are like really long. It's not just Folklore. Like, oh, there's an extra song. Like, Folklore is a hog unlike anything the world has ever seen. That's why I'm wearing my Evermore shirt today. You see this? Listen.
Evermore
she's
representation.
She's literally gone. She's not
she
coming back.
She needs a moment.
She's not coming back. She killed the gown.
She's gone.
I realized that today. No more gowns. No more Evermore gowns.
Well, no more great gowns, beautiful gowns for Evermore.
It's disrespectful. It's disrespectful.
No gowns. Invisible gowns. Well, the other songs that were cut were The One, The Last Great American Dynasty, Tis the Damn Season, and Tolerate It. I would be so pissed, specifically if I missed Tolerate It. the One and Tis the Damn Season, because those were some of my favorite moments in each of their respective sets. Tis the Damn Season, actually, you have to witness live to experience how good it is on the Eras Tour. Like, it actually is, it goes all the way off. So to get rid of that, I think combining the two sets was the best idea. She should have done that in the first place. And overall, I think the set list is way more balanced, because it felt super lopsided in terms of like Sleepy and I'm Gonna Cry My Eyes Out and Dance All Night Long. So I like the new pace of it, but the omissions are strange to me. Like, I know Marjorie is important to her, but I think that we could have kept Tolerate It or The One. The One is like a fan favorite moment on the tour as well. Meet someone on the internet and take her home. That basic ass note change had the crowd jumping every single night.
I saw somebody say they were so sad they didn't get to hear the note change. Like, it's not a, it's not on the set anymore. It's like, I don't understand it. I
can't believe people cared that much about it to begin with,
right,
to be honest.
I never understood
But they
that.
Did care. They did care.
I was pretty upset, like, when I was watching it live and she said that she was combining them. I was ready to get the noose. I was ready to get on the chair. I was ready to hang myself because I knew how it was going to go. I know how she thinks, and I know her mind, and I knew exactly how it was going to go, and it went exactly how I expected. It is Folklore with a couple of Evermore songs. And to add insult to injury, the set is the fucking Folklore set with a couple of, like, orange
with
details.
A tree. With a tree.
It was disrespectful. And, you know, it's like, I understand the concept of, like, combining them, but it's like, if you're going to combine them, it should be equal amounts Folklore and Evermore. I'm saying it. I don't care. Take Betty off. That's my chopper. If you had
take
to ask
Betty
me,
off.
Take Betty off. I was happy she shortened it, but take it off.
Because the August Illicit Affairs, My Tears Ricochet, is like 9 minutes. That's like a long affair.
Yeah.
And it's good. And it's good. But it's enough. That's enough from Folklore. Thank you. Like, literally, we could just do that. Cardigan is not necessary. I'm sorry. I'm like an anti-Cardigan truther now.
Oh.
Because I think we should just be doing The One instead of Cardigan. Get rid of Cardigan and Betty. Just do The One. Go straight into Champagne Problems. August Illicit Affairs. My Tears Ricochet. Fine. And then we need to do like a 3-song mashup from Evermore.
You know what's interesting is that, like, I think we could have done a really interesting Folklore Evermore mashup. There are definitely songs that could have been mashed up, and it would have been really fun, and, like, it would have actually made it like, oh, these are, you know, sister albums, and, you know, I think of them as being linked. But no, it's just here's Folklore and Evermore. But I'll tell you what, I was ready.
Albums.
I was literally ready to, like, blow the place up, and then she did Willow, and I was like, all right,
thank you, Queen,
and the new about to blow it up.
The new transition to Willow is pretty cool, too.
Oh, I do like that.
And all.
Yeah.
That is good. Mm-hmm. Willow gets her moment, so I guess she gets forgiven.
Yeah. Gorgina. I do love Willow has always been good on the Eras Tour. It was good before. It's good now. I'm clapping. I'm cheering. So that's one thing that I have to say. It was
but
pretty
from
cool.
That, I mean, when you just think about it abstractly, from that Gorgina record, Willow, the three songs, Willow, Evermore, the three songs that you have selected are Marjorie, Champagne Problems, and Willow. That is a horrible selection. Sorry.
I don't understand why Gold Rush is never... I don't understand why she doesn't think that should get a productional moment.
It would be so easy.
It would be so gorgeous.
We don't like to do easy things. We only like to do insane things. And, I mean, again, as we've said, We Are Never and I Knew You Were Trouble need to just be mashed up and done in under 3 minutes. Why are we still doing all of We Are Never?
It's crazy. It's really crazy. I was in awe when I was watching it. I was like, no way is she seriously doing all of We Are Never Ever and all of I Knew You Were Trouble. Come on.
When
the red
Live
set
is, gone,
is so long.
Like,
it ain't
yeah,
right.
It really is so long. And it's not even the best. Like, I think she just didn't even pick the best songs. But you know what? That's her. She loves We Are Never.
She does,
loves that song.
Which is surprising. I don't know why it surprises me. You'd think that would be one that's like aged to her and has gotten old. No, she loves it. She
no,
claps, she cheers.
She loves it.
She loves it.
I mean, I get it. I also love We Are Never. It's to me, it's not a Taylor Swift tour if We Are Never is not on it in some way, shape, or form. But, you know, cricket. I have to cricket when it's in full. And we're getting rid of Long Live. That really is my main bone to pick with the omissions from the set list, as you can tell. So then we get a new set, which is called Female Rage the Musical. Intro. And when I saw, first of all, a lot of the predictions that I made in my video came true. So I was kind of gagged by that. But when I saw that empty road and all the people walking down the street, I was like, we're about to go into a different area. We're about to do something that is going to change the world. And then she came up and it was, I forget how the West was won. And I was instantly gagged.
That was a time period when the stream went down and I had to fight for my life. But I mean, I was on, so I had like a bunch of streams like lined up. So when that one went down, it was the ad started on Twitch. We like hadn't had an ad the whole time. And of course, the second Torture Poet starts, it's Ad City. And I like got out of it really quick and I went to another stream, but I kind of missed the introduction. And by the time I came back, she was already doing But Daddy, I Love Him. And I kind of knew because she sold it as a single, and I actually heard it on the radio a couple days before. I was like, I know it's the next single.
Oh, really?
So I knew that she was going to play it. So I was, you know, boop, boop, boop.
Oh, she gave it everything.
She gave it
literally everything that it could have possibly been given. The little August run that she does at the beginning, the stomping up and down, the clapping at the end.
Oh, I love that. The choreo is really cute.
It's Gorgina. The part that kind of confuses me is the choreo and the bridge. I'm like, what? She's doing like sign language. I'm like, what is going on here? Where is she? Is she supposed to be like in a church or in like a court? I couldn't really tell.
I think like in a church. I think it's, there's like stained glass imagery, correct? Like behind her.
Like God save I guess so.
I guess she's supposed to be in the church. She's in the little chapel.
She loves to do a little church moment. Witchcraft and church imagery are two things that she loves to do.
It's very interesting.
So the choreo was good. The dress is Gorgina. Well, when I saw it on my little live stream, it was such bad quality that I couldn't see it. When I saw it up close, and it has "I love you, it's ruining my life" written all over it, Gorgina.
Gorgina. I love the fit of it. It looks really nice on her. I love the way it looks when she runs. It like really flows behind her. Gorgina. You know what I saw people saying? I've seen multiple people say this, and I think that they deserve to go to jail. They keep calling it a diaper. I don't see that at all. Just because it's
white.
Why
are they saying that?
Because they're evil.
Because it has a poofy back?
Because it has a poofy back.
Get out of here.
It looks like a diaper. You look like a
diaper. What would she wear instead? A bed sheet. A toga for them. What the hell?
A toga for them. I didn't get that. It's a Vivian Westwood gown, I will have you know.
And if you've heard of Vivian Westwood and you see the gown, you understand. If you don't, you're a rat.
You're a little rat.
But it slayed the house down boots. I even like the necklace she chose.
Yeah.
It's like a, it's kind of like a choker, but it's not like.
Yeah. I like it has a little Saturn in it, which I really like. I thought that was really cute.
I am obsessed with the outfit. Also, you know what? I was actually very, very pleasantly gagged by this set. I think it's a really, really good little encapsulation of Torture Poets. So high school, little interlude. Very cute. It got exactly what it needed, which was, you know how to ball.
I know Aristotle, baby.
I know Aristotle.
She said, mind if I beat the horse a little bit?
She said, I refuse
this song is about.
To be shamed by this song. You will not tell me it's bad.
And it's the perfect amount of it, too. Just the perfect little, so high school. It's like, thank you. I like
a little
it.
Whisper.
Yeah.
If she'd done any more of that, it would have been jail time.
Yeah.
But she did the exact right amount. And she looks, you know, the choreo in that part specifically is so cute. I love it when she
so
like leans
cute.
Back and she's like driving. Yeah. It's really adorable. And I think this unfortunately gives a lot of, But Daddy, I Love Him is about Travis Truther's Emma.
Oh, they love it. Even though it makes no sense. I mean,
it
sure,
literally
whatever. You guys can
makes
have fun.
No sense.
They're having fun.
I'm gonna let you rock.
I'm
they don't let
you
me rock.
Rock
though. I'm not allowed to exist, but they're allowed to say whatever the fuck they want. Clearly, then we go into Who's Afraid of Little Old Me, and I mean, who was surprised? I knew from the second I heard the song she was going to be doing it.
She said, "I'm gonna do my witchcraft and my levitation live on stage, and you're all gonna clap and cheer." And I did. Very well done, I will say. Everything about it is Gorgina and absolutely perfect. I wouldn't change anything. Not a thing. I was gagging.
My favorite thing about Who's Afraid of Little Old Me is it being live. Like, I don't want to listen to it, but when I see it on the tour and I see the energy and the charisma that she's giving it, she wanted to scream. She was in a place of scream. And I support that for her. I also thought that this new, like, the production elements of the new set are really good and intricate. And I love how that block that she moves along on is mirrored on the bottom. So it like reflects the crowd kind of, and also the stage back. So it really does kind of, it seem like she's levitating. And whatever like invisible wire she has that lets her like lean and float is really cool.
Yeah. The staging of it, the choreography of it is really good. When I see the pictures, I understand the point of the pole. Like, trust me, I get it. But
it
is,
needs
I have
to be
a,
there.
it needs to be there. But the pictures of Down Bad specifically, damn, that pole really ruins
the pole
a shot.
Is just there.
Yeah, just- it ruins a shot, baby. But I get it. I get it. I understand the pole. It needs to be there. It is. I mean, we can't have Taylor falling and breaking her wrist on the Eras Tour. Not on my watch.
No.
Not on my watch.
Not here. Not now. Not on this day. But yeah, I mean, Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? Gagged. Everybody loved it. Down Bad. You know what? Down Bad. I mean, it got a moment, but I feel like we could have done more with it. I did love
it. We should have done the bridge. We needed the bridge. Mm-hmm. Like, I would have been fine with it being short as long as we got the bridge. That really kind of was like,
yeah, because the verse,
well, come on.
The verse is kind of whatever. If we had started with the chorus and gone straight into the bridge and done another chorus, we would have been jumping.
Yeah.
And cheering and clapping.
Absolutely. Jumping and cheering and clapping. But
I like that Fortnite comes into it at the end. I like that.
Well, I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like that. I mean, I knew she was going to do Fortnite. It's a single. It, like, that's not the issue. The issue is, do we have to do the whole thing? Do we have to do the entire thing when we could have done a little Down Bad, a little Fortnite? And I do, however, really like the staging of Fortnite. I think it's the bed that, like, moves
it's awesome.
Up and down. It's cool.
It's so cool.
That's, I do like
and
that.
I was looking at up-close videos, and I still couldn't work out how they were doing it. So I was like, this is in different areas. I was so angry that I had my front row seat in Singapore. I was so mad. I was like, to see this in the fucking front row, really, because
awesome.
Of where I was, I would have been right there for the But Daddy, I Love Him stomping and clapping and running. Jail for her. I think, yeah, the Fortnite part was too long. Nobody needs that much of it, but she was giving all of it. I could tell that she really loves that song, and she really wanted to be strapped to a bed in the mental institution. She's like, I need that to happen to me.
She is loving that image right now. And you know what? I support it 100%. I was clapping and I was cheering.
We were. It was good. And then we go straight into The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived. Going straight from I Touch You for Only a Fortnight into Was Any of It True?
She was cooking. That's the thing about the set list.
Me.
In this particular set, like, it, all of it really makes sense. And, like, I get the narrative behind, like, what's going on. It makes perfect sense.
And the transitions are really good. The transitions really
make sense. The transitions
are
really good. It. I don't know if it's just because it's new and, like, it's something fresh that I think it's, like, better than other parts of the Eras Tour sets. There's something about it that's just really hitting in different areas. I don't know what it is.
It has way more production elements put into it. Like, every song has something very unique about it. Whereas, like, with Reputation, I mean, Look What You Made Me Do and Don't Blame Me Bridge, sure. Ready For It, she's up on the blocks, I guess. Delicate, she's just stomping around. Fearless, she's just stomping around. There's a guitar involved. That's all. So this is like in different areas. But The Smallest Man in that marching band outfit, I mean.
They really gagged.
It gagged me.
It gagged me.
I will say that, like, someone posted in a very zoomed in video of her marching, like, without the drum line behind her. And it looks really stupid.
It's when she can't be taken out of context. We need to have the whole picture. Otherwise, it's asinine. Mm-hmm. I love
Otherwise,
the jacket.
It's stomp, stomp, stomp.
When she was first putting it on, when I was watching it live, I thought she was going to do My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys because everybody was coming out. And then when at the end of Smallest Man, when they're taking her apart, I was like, My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys. And again, it was not. I'm actually really surprised that it didn't make it. I wouldn't cut anything that she did put on, but I'm still surprised My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys is not on the Eras Tour set list. Doesn't it just sound like it was engineered to be?
Yeah, I always – that was in my predicted set list. I mean, I really would have cut down Fortnite and added that in. Like, just do it or do it a little bit before The Smallest Man and then go straight into The Smallest Man as The Broken Soldier. That would have been good.
Gag.
The jacket really reminds me of that jacket that she wore for the 2013 Grammys, where she said, I love you, in her British accent.
Right. Well,
doesn't it look the same?
It's the exact same jacket. It's the exact same jacket.
And we cheered.
And we cheered.
And we cheered. The vocals on The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived were interesting. I'm kind of like, girl, you need to commit to doing the high part or the low part. She was, like, oscillating at points that, like, didn't really make sense. And there was one moment where I was like, you'll get it eventually. One day, we'll give her a couple shows. She'll get more comfortable with it.
Right. Yeah.
But I like the sentiment, but I'm kind of like, choose. Low or high?
Your note, please. Absolutely.
I like the interlude into I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. Oh, very cute. It. Very cute. It's
and there's
so
like
cute.
Nothing, since she cut Tolerate It, there's nothing else like that on the tour now. So
theatrical.
Like, yeah, theatrical and like involving the dancers and having it be like a whole moment. And I think it's just like absolutely perfect. Everything about it. It really sets the scene for the song. And I just absolutely love it. I love it. Love it.
I love the glamour of it all. She's giving face. The showgirl part is good. She's wearing a really cunty shoe. And
Regina.
She's just strutting around. She's acting like it's my birthday. Also, the funniest part to me is she really wants to emphasize at the end, don't come for my job.
Yeah. She's really.
Can we unpack that? What do you mean, don't come for my job?
Who's
I
coming?
Think by that, she. Yeah, this is the thing. Does she mean because he ruined her sparkling summer and like threatened to upset her so much that she could no longer do the Eras tour? Is that what don't come for my job means? Or is that just like a general threat to anyone who may even think of coming for a job?
I think it's everything. Everyone, everywhere. Do not, under any circumstances,
don't
come
you dare.
For my job. It's kind of like, ooh. It's almost scarier
Ooh,
than what goes
it's
on
random.
In Who's Afraid of Little Old Me. It's like,
It is. Because it happens by surprise.
Yeah.
And it's not really like tonally congruent with the rest of the song. So you're like, okay.
Oh, okay.
I won't.
Sorry.
Surely I won't. I wasn't
Surely
planning
I won't.
On it.
No, I'm here. I paid.
But now,
I paid.
I'd like you to keep doing your job, actually.
Right. Yeah.
I'll join you in saying don't come for my job to anyone who might even think of it.
Exactly.
But I loved how the Eras Tour marquee went up at the end.
Yeah. I love it. I love all of the graphics on the screen were perfect. Gorgeous.
We definitely did miss an opportunity to put on the Cruel Summer bodysuit one more time. We did miss an opportunity to do that. I would have liked to have seen that.
You mean during the song?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay.
I would have liked that, but she didn't do that for me.
She didn't.
That's okay. If you can believe it, she doesn't do things with me in mind.
You know
which
what
is kind
would
of crazy.
Gag actually is a white, just totally white. Cruel Summer bodysuit. It would be kind of a gag.
It would
be really
I would
pretty.
Love that.
Yeah, she would look really good in it.
It would be Gorgina.
Yeah, Gorgina.
If you, I mean, omissions, anything that you would love to add in, I mean, guilty as sin, pleek.
Guilty as sin,
pleek.
Yeah, and it's the fact that some rat in some fuckhole place that I don't even know is going to get guilty as sin is like, I'm frothing. I'm foaming over with rage.
I need it on the guitar. It seems like she's doing all the Tortured Poet songs on the piano, and I'm just like a notorious guitar truther. There are only certain songs I want on the piano. Whoever got LOML, you're on my list. Next time I see you, you're dead.
I wonder if, because she didn't play any Tortured Poets tonight, and I was kind of like, whoo, because like she needs to stop giving them away. She needs to stop giving them away immediately.
What did she do tonight?
She
I
did
just woke up.
Hey Steven. I actually watched Jessica's live. I was making my blueberry bars, and it said Jessica went live, and I said, and I will watch.
Absolutely.
So Hey Steven on the guitar, which was really cute. And then on the piano, she did – oh, my God. What did she do? I can't remember. It wasn't anything from Tortured Poets, though. I know that.
Was it a gag? Clearly not, because –
Because I've completely forgotten about it. Yeah, no, I don't think it was a gag. I shut it off. I was like, okay, see ya.
The piano song really does kind of like go one way or another. Like the guitar usually is if you're going to get a diva, it's going to be on the guitar. I would say most commonly. There was a video of Tree Pain singing Look What You Made Me Do in the crowd. Lol. Apparently.
What?
That makes sense. Oh, Maroon.
Whatever.
She did Maroon.
Oh, Maroon.
She sung it
That's
five
what it was.
Times as a surprise song. She fucking loves that song.
And you know what I was thinking? Because I have been watching Jess's lives. Jess has gotten Maroon, like, I think that's her third time. And that's what you get.
That's what you get when you let your heart win.
Yep.
Period. Literally, yep. Period. Okay, so let's talk about the new outfits. So we have a new custom Versace bodysuit and boot and blazer for Cruel Summer in the color of orange.
Orange.
Madeline is an Evermore truther. You love?
I do really like the bodysuit. I like it. I do kind of agree that it's a little bit of a clash with what's going on behind her, but it depends on like the during Cruel Summer, I think it's okay. But during other parts of the set, Lover. In particular, I was kind of like, but I like it on its own. I think it's Gorgina. She doesn't usually wear that color. I feel like that kind of orange.
No.
And
we had the orange 1989 fit. she had that. Yep. When
love
we liked that.
That, that
was a late introduction. I think that's when she realized that orange was a color she could wear, because after that, it's been like, how many orange variations can I have? Because there are quite a few. I like the bodysuit in theory, but I do think that it clashes a lot with the visuals and that kind of doesn't look good in pictures. I love the blazer.
No, the blazer is Gorgina. Absolutely gorgeous. I love that color. You don't see that color a lot, that perfect coral. Coral orange, Gorgina. I love it. And I love the boot.
It doesn't look good with a pink guitar, though. So
no, but that's her journey.
She's keeping it loose. She's mixing it up. And I love to see it. I'm not going to complain about a difference. Hold up. Actually, let me complain about this. There's a new Fearless bodysuit. I hate it.
That's interesting.
When I saw it still, I was like, Gorgina. And when I saw it moving, it looks like a black bodysuit from a dance supply store with silver and gold tassels attached. No. No.
I liked it. I liked it. I get what you mean, though. It's I prefer.
You love arts and crafts, and this is from the Hobby Lobby. Well, so
period.
I think, yeah.
Period. Well, it also, here's why I like it, really. So it reminds me of the original Sparkle guitar, because the original Sparkle guitar is black with silver on top. And I think the black bodysuit adds like a like, you know what I mean? Like, it gives contrast to the silver.
To me, the Offender is gold and silver. I'm like, if it was just silver, I think I would really like it. But the gold and silver makes it look cheap. That's my issue.
Oh, period. My favorite Fearless outfit is still the gold flapper dress. That one is still the best one. Easily. So,
let's get rid of the octopus.
I think that one perhaps is in retirement. And you know what? I'm saying goodbye.
It was flamed. Surely it's gone.
Surely.
We haven't seen that ugly Speak Now dress since it started getting flamed every day. That didn't stop her from putting it in the Air Tour video, though.
Is it in the Air? Is that the one that she put in the movie?
Oh, no, no, no. That's just another ugly one that I don't like. But the really ugly one has not been seen in a while.
Like the flowers on it? Yeah, that one was the worst. Horrible.
Hideous.
I love the new Speak Now dress. I think it's Gorgina. Yeah,
the new Speak Now dress is cute. It's not like a – it's not a ball gown, which is what I love about the pink dress. And did you know that people call the gold dress the everything but the bagel dress?
Who says that?
Whores. Idiots.
Why is everybody saying that? Everything but the bagel.
I had a Gorgina video of her in the front row up close singing Long Live in that dress. And they were like, oh, you got the everything bagel dress. I was like, what
do you mean? The gold dress? The gold dress?
The
you got
gold
the
dress?
Everything but the bagel dress. You know what you got?
Shut up.
You got me slapping
Nothing.
Your mouth.
You're at home.
A nice pop right in the tooth.
The pink one is the best
crazy.
One.
Well,
the pink one is for the sure one, the best one.
That's the one that everybody wants to get, yeah.
And I got that one front row too, so we have to clap
we,
and cheer.
We just have to cheer. We just have to cheer.
We have to. Of all the Cruel Summer bodysuits, the pink one is the fucking gag. It's the gag.
The original. The OG.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's the gag. And we got it in Chicago. And we're going to get it again in London, inshallah.
I think I got it in Seattle too, if I recall correctly.
Well, you're just a pink
girl. That's my bodysuit. That's my bodysuit.
It's yours. It belongs to you.
Right.
We also get, I love the new We Are Never shirts. I think it's such a fun, just a fun thing to do. This
Me
is
too.
Not Taylor's version. I literally cackled. I was like, you are a troll, Miss Ma'am.
She's a troll.
And also, yes, this is not Taylor's version. And what are you going to do about it? I'm not streaming Holy Ground TV. I'm not streaming New Romantics TV. I'm not streaming Style TV.
She can't make me.
And again, I posted a video that like mentioned that in it. I didn't even make it the point of the video. And the shooters were in my fucking comments. And this girl was like, how dare you? You don't even understand what it means to her to stream the stolen versions. And then she was like going back and forth in the comments. And eventually she was like, yeah, well, I'm 15 and blah, blah, blah. And so I wrote and I was like, oh, you're 15? I'm not engaging with you on this. Goodbye.
Goodbye. We have nothing to talk about.
Goodbye. At the end of the day, if you are a new stan and you're talking to me about listening to stolen versions, I actually don't fucking care what you have to say. Shut up.
No, really, it's just a complete – it's so different. It's a totally different – like you don't understand me.
You could never get it. You could literally never get it. If these songs didn't rock you to sleep when you were having a mental breakdown at 13 years old, shut your damn mouth.
You just don't get it.
You stream the Taylor's version. You can have it. Enjoy Style Taylor's version. Enjoy. Have it. Girl and at Home TV, what? You're welcome to it.
I don't appreciate being demonized. When I'm out there spending the money, I buy them.
How much money have, buy them. Exactly. And how much money have we given Ms. Swift over the fucking years? Enough so that I can take 1 millicent away from her with my measly stream of holy ground.
Yes. I've earned the right.
Nothing gets me going like that subject. Yes.
I have earned the right. I will stream away.
And I won't be stopped. I simply won't be stopped. So she also has an I Bet You Think About Me shirt. And I'm like, okay, that's cute. But I need to take it to a place of troll every night. Like, where else can we go with the shirts?
Oh, there's a lot of shirts.
We can go in a lot of different places. We could go everywhere.
We could go everywhere.
Maybe I'm the problem would be a really funny one to do. But, I mean, that might just get confused by the new Swifties with I'm the problem, it's me. New folklore dress, yellow. Yellow is not her color. I have to say, it's just not.
Well, you know what's really offensive about it? If I can speak my truth and speak my
Please
mind.
Do.
She made it yellow because she's trying to make the folklore dress ever more colored. And it's disrespectful. And it's offensive. Seriously.
And yellow is also not an ever more color.
It's horrible. I mean, the dress is – I don't have a problem with the dress. What I have a problem with is what the dress represents. A feeble attempt to combine the two. And here's the tea. If you're going to do that, why don't you make the Evermore dress folklore color? Let's talk about that. Bring it out of retirement.
Why don't we let's get into that. Well, you know why? Because she wants to twirl. That's why the Evermore dress can't exist.
Oh,
she
whatever.
Wants to flop around and
I
do
know
her
what
arms.
She wants. She wants to wave her little tissue paper around. I know what she wants.
But
and
why don't we have a quick change? We could change. You have so much. What about in the middle of the 25-minute standing ovation for Champagne Problems? You just change the gown.
That we need to be talking
about. And Willow
and
Marjorie, we get the nice dress.
Because it's really disrespectful to take songs off and then stand there for 15 minutes basking in the uproarious. It's rude.
It is
kind of rude. I'll say my truth.
You're getting a standing ovation from before you get on stage. So if we're going to take a moment to appreciate the crowd, have you heard of your closing number, Karma?
Yeah.
Maybe you should do it then. No? Don't want to, Diva? Cat got your tongue?
It's offensive.
The Torture Poets outfits, I mean, we talked about this a little bit, but the Vivian Westwood custom gown. Oh,
Regina.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We love the marching band jacket. Mm. There is variations for that two-piece at the end with the overcoat. I am obsessed with the fully silver version. Obsessed with that.
That one's nice. The gold one I like, but I definitely prefer the silver one.
The gold looks cheap. It's just that shiny material. It's like if we're doing shiny with no rhinestones, it looks cheap under those stage lights.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like, no. And also the gold was like too yellow for me, but that's like truly nitpicking. I love the silver version though. I just think it like fits more with the rest of the outfits.
Yeah. With the rest of the
set,
it would
be cool if she had an all black variation of the other outfits. That would be good.
I would be gagging. An all black version of the gown that has white text on it. Now I'd be gobbling
and
that
the
up.
Jacket too.
That'd be
Thank
delicious.
You so much. Come on, Taylor. Free ideas on the evolution of a snake. Now, this is the most controversial one. Madeline and I are aligned on this. New 1989 Cavalli two-piece set that is Gorgina. And if you don't think so, you're insane.
You don't get it. What's that? And listen.
You're not
I
a girly. You don't understand the experience of being a fucking girly.
You put on a top and it's a different color skirt, and then you put on your different color boots,
and
what's wrong
slay
with that?
The house down boots,
the pink and the blue
you've
one
never...
is yeah
oh it's so good
it's
so
superior.
Good you've
definitely
you've never
superior.
Cried tears in the bathroom and understood that life is just a classroom. That hasn't happened for you, and
no.
I'm sad, but it's not my problem, and I need you to stop making it my problem. Okay, either be a new romantic or get out of my space.
And then they're saying she looks like a mermaid. And I'm saying, and you're saying that like it's a problem.
And what about that?
And
what
I'm cheering
about it.
And I'm cheering.
Why the hell not? Why the hell not? I love the pink and the blue one is so fucking cute.
It's
and
so
I was
cute.
Like, I already thought it was cute. And then when I saw the different colored boots, I was like, oh, she's taking it.
She's taking
That's
it.
That's a costume. That's
it's
a
costume.
Costume. A costume.
You don't get it.
This is theater. The orange one. I'm not a huge fan of. I don't dislike it. But again, it clashes with every other visual on the stage.
Yeah, and I think it kind of gives a little bit Halloween. That's just, that orange and purple always makes me think of Halloween. It's not bad.
It does give Halloween, yeah.
And that's okay.
For
that's
her.
All right.
You know what? It looks great.
That bad
it looks
boy
great
out.
During Wildest Dreams and Bad Blood, because we've got a lot of like fire going on in that part of the show, so it looks really good there. But I'm obsessed. I think this new fit is way better than what we had before. What we had before was a subpar, like, romper outfit. It was trying to be the Shake It Off 1989 costume, and it was nothing like that. It was nothing of the sort.
It never will be. And then I do like the pink and green one as well, but the pink and blue one is way better. That's number one.
Oh.
Pink and blue.
Gorgeous.
I have to have it. I have to see it.
Everything about it was everything to me.
Everything.
I am literally so excited to see the next show. Like, I'm gagged. I can't wait. New Midnight's bodysuit, which is just kind of the same thing.
That's what I thought,
but, like,
too.
In a different font.
Well, when she came out, when she was wearing the anti-hero shirt dress and it was like really dark purple, and I was like, oh my gosh, she's going to wear a purple bodysuit. No. Why would you do that?
Same color. To be fair, that navy looks stunning on her.
Gorgina.
And it's kind of a copy of the best Midnight's bodysuit, which is the one that has like the high neck and really, really skin tight. The only one.
Yes.
She only wore that one in Singapore, by the way. Like, she didn't wear any other for six shows.
Where's
the same Midnight's bodysuit every night.
We haven't seen the black one
in
forever. The black one is
really
nice. And
also the other blue one. The other blue one is like the most mid of them all. But this is a great entry. I mean, it's great. We could have done something a little bit different. We could have for the Teen Vogue party.
It's midnight blue.
We could have had another All Too Well shirt jacket thing. Could have had
that.
But that looks like it takes a lot of work to create. It's huge.
Not to even mention the Reputation bodysuit. I mean, that's
you know what? Actually, I need to have a moment about that, because on TikTok, I posted and was like, it's really annoying that she hasn't done a Reputation bodysuit. And I got more indignant comments from 15-year-olds being like, well, she's not doing a Reputation bodysuit because Reputation TV has not come out yet. And when it comes out, she will reclaim the album by introducing a new bodysuit. I was like, you just made that up. You just fucking made that up. And you're relaying it to me like it's a fact. But you made it up.
Made it up. I love that you're relaying it to me like you're in the room. Like you
literally
were in the room at rehearsals.
They say it to me like I'm some fucking idiot. Idiot that doesn't know anything and hates Taylor Swift. It's so annoying.
I hate that kind of attitude too. Like, you just don't get it. And it's like, no.
I always respond being like, first of all, who do you think you're talking to? Let's start there. There's one person called a Swiftologist. And it's not you.
Well, when every other era gets a new fit, except for Reputation. And the last time we saw it, when she was finishing out the tour, I don't know if it was like this in Singapore, but it was definitely like this at the end of the US leg. When she lifted up her arm, it was falling apart. There was a hole in it. Now it's been fixed up. We praise God. But I mean, come on, girly. Maybe she is like saving like a big reveal. I don't think it's to reclaim anything. I think it's because to get everybody
just to
hyped about
it, probably,
Reputation TV.
To announce it, maybe, sure. But shut up.
On.
That's not why. This is not, you made that up. My issue is not that couldn't be a possibility. It's like, it's the relaying it to me as a fact. Like, were you in the room? ?
Yeah, it's like, there's a different way to say it. Like, why don't you just say, oh, well, maybe she's saving it for a reveal. And then you'd say, oh, okay, not. Well, you
instead
don't.
Obviously.
It's so fucking rude.
And also, if we're going to talk about it, you know what? If there was someone that has been in the room with Taylor Swift discussing matters of Reputation, it's not you.
It would never be
talking
you.
To me. It could never be you.
It wouldn't be me either.
So leave me alone.
The only person who might know anything about that is Tree Paint, and she's not sharing.
She doesn't like to share with the class.
No.
The Enchanted gown, I like it. I think we've talked about this. I like it. It just isn't a ball gown, and I like to see the ball gown. You know what I did notice in Singapore, though? It's so hard for her to walk in that ball gown. She literally is like, when you see her up close, she's kicking her feet, and she's always looking down at her feet too. She's like literally basically picking up the dress and like kicking her feet underneath it. So it looks effortless from afar, but up close, she's like fighting for her goddamn life.
And it can't be fun to get into that fucking thing every night.
No, I'm sure it's distracting too, because when she's walking out for Enchanted, she actually has a long walk to go in that dress. And in my up close videos, I'll post some of them. You can see she's like watching her feet the entire time, which is not the vibe we want to give. Then she gets up on the podium thing and she really gives. But as soon as it comes to walking in it, she's like, oh.
You know what the tea is? I would give up the gown for two more Speak Now songs. That's the tea. If the issue is the gown blind. Is too hard to work with.
If it's turn around right. and I'll play yep. Speak Now songs, yep. I would do that.
I would do that. Absolutely. But for a Sparks Fly moment.
Has no taste.
The more I think mm-hmm. about it, the more mystified I am that Sparks Fly is not on the Eras Tour set list. Fan favorite. Fan beloved. Where is
and
she?
Also, production ready song. Like right. that song is a theatrical song right. that is ready to be performed. And imagine, I mean, picture this. The ball gown is a quick change. And as she's coming down from the lift, they take it off and we're doing like a Sparks Fly bodysuit in that purple or that pink.
I'm seeing it. I'm seeing the vision and I'm gagging. Man, we need to be in the room.
Sparks Fly is one of the only songs that can be done the way that she is trying to do the Archer and Delicate, which is just walking around and doing nothing else. Sparks Fly was invented walking.
Sparks Fly invented the subtle art of walking across the stage and pointing. Yes,
and
pointing at me, bending down,
and looking yeah. around, and winking, and looking over your shoulder. Yeah.
Exactly, that's all I want.
And you know what I realized the other day that I miss so much? I really miss her flipping her fucking hair while playing the guitar, like doing a full fucking head down, head up flip. We don't do that in Fearless. We didn't do it in Long Live. I get it. We don't have as much hair as before, but like, I really miss when she would like go like this, and her hair would just like.
Yep. Those were the days. You know what? Those
when she
were the
would
golden
play
mine days.
On the electric guitar on the Speak Now tour. Oh my God. That was everything to
me. You know, I kind of miss her whipping ridiculous. Out the old electric guitar. What happened to the electric
Where's
guitar?
That?
Bring it back out.
Where's that at?
She's not really playing the guitar. She's doing her showmanship thing, which I guess yeah. and I like appreciate, but we're not really bringing the guitar out. She used to be a guitar girl.
We also know that her guitar is not plugged in for Fearless. Let's just be honest. It's not plugged in.
Well,
it's a toy guitar. That's why it's not the real Sparkle guitar.
It's not plugged in.
It's a prop.
It's a prop. And I'm smiling and I'm cheering and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Prop away.
Absolutely. Remember the one time when they forgot to turn her mic off and she was playing Fearless for the guitar? They forgot to turn it off and she was just strumming.
And it was
like ding dong ding.
Taylor. No, no.
Oh, no, it was
no,
during
no.
You Belong With Me. You Belong With Me. Bam. Ding dong ding.
It was shocking. I was like,
it's
oh,
hilarious
no,
to
Queenie.
Me. And you know why? You know why it was so funny? Because it was at a festival where, like,
in
she
Australia.
Doesn't have control over the sound mixing. We're so diseased that we can remember
and
where
her...
and when that happened.
And, like, picking it up and, like, you know, when she does her, like, displays the guitar, like, I'm serving!
Meanwhile, you've just
I'm
heard
serving!
Bing, bong, bang.
Like, oh
and she's standing
God.
There like so smug and proud of herself, like yeah. looking around, like yeah,
she's grinning like the Cheshire
that.
Cat, and like everyone
and the
in the crowd
is like. And it's after the big reveal of the quick change too. She's wearing like roadie clothes, and then her sparkle dress comes out, and she smashes her guitar and says, "Look at me! I miss those days.
Shameful.
Bring them back.
Yeah, I do.
Bring it back.
You know what? We need malfunctions. Mm-hmm. We need
the errors
back.
Tour.
The errors
Bring it back
tour."
To us. Taylor mentioned in Paris, interestingly, that she didn't take any time off. Well, we've been knew that. She said they started planning this 8 or 9 months ago. So basically, like, the songs that were on the set had to be done in order to, like, create a set out of them. So basically, as soon as the U.S. leg wrapped, it was Torture Poets is done and ready to be incorporated time, which is very interesting to me because Torture Poets was done by August and September, I suppose. Not really giving us actually any time at all to get into the Travis Kelce of it all on any of those standard edition tracks. I think that she just added So High School in at the end because it's like yeah. such a short, easy part to do. But that to me also confirms that anything on the standard track list is not about Travis, meaning The Alchemy is not about Travis. I've been saying that and nobody wants to hear it. Madeline, what do you feel about that?
Well, that's when I know my truth. But here's the thing is, why can't everybody just accept that it is actually about Maddie and then say, and I'm ignoring that. That's what I do.
This
that's
is
what
the
I
thing.
Do every day.
It's like people, they deliberately don't want positive things to right. be about Maddie is what I've noticed. They don't want that. Everything has to be about – everything happy has to be about Travis. And now everything wistful and longing has to be about Maddie Healy. So that's why a lot of the Harry Styles revisionism is taking place. They're like, well, she didn't care about him at all and it wasn't important at all actually. And I'm like, no, that's not correct. Just because Maddie was like in the equation does not right. completely discount the fact that like the Haler interlude was a significant thing that she continued to think about after that. It was.
Well, you know what the tea is? I feel like this is all coming too much from people thinking about like who the muses are too fucking much. It's like, I don't yeah. really care. I don't give two rat's figs who the alchemy is about. You know what I'm thinking about during the alchemy 99.9% of the time? It is none of these mm-hmm. fucking men. There's one mm-hmm. man.
This is the thing.
And his name is Mason.
Just enjoy. Tea.
You guys need to get a Mason
review.
Get a Mason.
You need a Mason
now.
Review.
You need Mr. one. Review. Or at least get a Dylan O'Brien that you can fantasize about or yeah. something. Something.
Well, they have one. It's Travis. And they are not right. just imagining Travis as their boyfriend. They're imagining themselves as Taylor Swift. That really is the issue. They want to live her life so bad. So
I don't,
bad.
I don't want to date a football player. I'm going to tell you that. It seems like a fucking nightmare.
Also, you know what? I don't want to be Taylor Swift. It seems like a lot of stress.
No, it really seems
like
bad.
A lot. I'd much rather be the peanut gallery talking about Taylor Swift.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, exactly. We need to be in the stands.
That's the
we
job.
Need to be in the stands.
We that's love to be there with the popcorn. We're ready. Mm-hmm. But Daddy, I Love Him Acoustic. These are other – on to other matters in the Taylor Nation. But Daddy, I Love Him Acoustic. Have you heard this?
No, because nobody yet. Has it. You haven't heard
well,
it?
Well, we know
you
what have? It's going to be. It's going to be. No, I haven't heard it. Didn't she do Lavender Haze? What did she do for Midnights that was acoustic? Antihero?
Antihero, Lavender Haze, Sweet Nothing. She did a different version.
How hard is it for those of us who want to release acoustic versions to just get in the fucking studio and sing the song again? Why does it have to be copy-paste the album vocals with a bad guitar track?
Well, what's
they
interesting
do that on YouTube.
What's
fan
interesting
accounts
is,
make that.
Is that she did do like a totally new vocal track for the alternate version of All Too Well, the Sad Girl mm-hmm. Autumn remix, which is really good.
But ever
why,
since, nothing.
Why can't we do that for A Little Bit Daddy, I Love Him? The fact that it's like only
it.
Available on CD and you have to purchase it is kind of asinine. It's like, well, I thought that
and
we
it
were
means
doing
that it's going to be nothing. Also, remember they did this with the Cardigan Candlelight version and it was the same fucking thing. And it was barely different too. The Candlelight version was just like truly only piano. That was it.
That's really lame. Yeah, I'm not really into these like alternative acoustic versions because they're
unless
always
they're
the same.
Real.
Right,
they're
unless
not.
They're real.
If it's real, I'm seated and I'll buy it. I will. If it ends up being real and it's still available, I will buy it. I still don't have a physical copy of the album.
Really? I thought you ordered
no.
them.
No.
Oh, because
I did,
they,
but they
canceled
my
it.
Order.
That
I ordered
is
two.
So
I'm so sad.
Evil.
They were in stock the other day, but I've given up on trying to order from the US store because they just keep canceling my order even when I change everything about myself.
Well, you do so, technically like, you do technically have a physical copy. It's just at my house.
It's coming to me soon. It's signed.
At my house, but it's technically yours. It's in my drawer. It's coming mm-hmm. to you soon, et cetera.
It'll be making its way to me. Yeah. I'll be loving it. This is a headline that I picked for Madeline specifically. According to The Independent, Pink is upset that Taylor is getting attention for selling out stadiums in Australia, and meanwhile, she's not getting her flowers.
And you know what? I laughed my ass off. I was like,
did.
Of all the names that I thought that I was going to see, I was not expecting to see the name Pink. Everybody knows I'm kind
are.
Of like I've been since I was like a kid, kind of like a Pink detractor. Now I'm an adult. I don't really mm-hmm. think about her anymore, but I used to really, really hate her. So this mm-hmm. tickled me in a way that tickled me pink. We'll say that. It tickled me pink.
Pink has a pick me behavior that is so strong and has carried through her entire
and she's too
career.
Old, too grown
from stupid
to be pick
girls.
Me.
To pick me, yep. Taylor Swift does not deserve the attention she's getting. She's like, I'm getting shot out of a cannon every night and no one's clapping for me. We're sick of it.
And why doesn't that just tell you something?
She
why doesn't
could
just tell you nobody cares?
She could have a spaceship on her stage and go to the moon and I still would be like, oh, Pink's just doing her Pink shit again.
Exactly.
I don't care.
That's what
I
happens when you flip around too much. When you flip around at every show, people get bored. That's what I'm telling you.
And then you know what? You're left with nowhere to go because the answer is come up with something else. And you're like, I'm already in the ceiling. I'm in the
exactly.
sky.
You're already
I can't
in the leotard.
Do anything else.
In the
exactly.
harness, flying through the fucking air. What
Taylor's
else?
Taylor's got
there?
It right. We're clapping yeah. and cheering when yeah. we see a new skirt. And yet you're doing a gymnastics routine. And we're
right.
not saying anything.
And nobody says a word. And that's nobody says her. A fucking word. I do no feel bad. Cares. Well, I mean, this is kind of like, I guess Pink is perhaps one of the, not the first and not the last victim of Taylor fatigue. And you know what? They're exhausted. They're crying. Sorry. But it's not stopping. It's not stopping.
Keep doing your flips, girl. Good yep. luck with booking that flip mm-hmm. you speak of.
Good luck.
New tour merch with the TTPD picture in it sadly cannot save the Eras branding from being hideous. However, I need that charcoal hoodie.
Shameful. Shameful. I looked at it. I actually, you know what I liked about the original Eras tour merch with Midnight's at the Forefront? She's coming out. You know that? Like mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. in the TTPD, she's like just in her square. Writhing. That bothers me for some reason. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well,
like, why is she just
graphic
in her
design
square?
Is not great for some, again, God knows what reason it's not good. But I will say, I'm going to give credit where credit is due, and I want to talk about the merch generally. It seems to me that she has taken the feedback of too much merch, and I'm going to congratulate Evolution of Snake and Swiftologist for really banging the drum on this, because I was featured in the New York Times podcast talking about how bad the merch is.
And she said,
But she said, you know what? Okay, I'm just going to milk you for all it's worth with the CDs and the vinyls, but I'm okay with that because that's the music and whatever. But I want to give props to the TTPD merch collection, which was kind of cute because it was like a capsule collection. It was concise. It was pared down. It has not been restocked yet, much to my surprise. We're like almost a month out and there's not been a restock. And you know what? The gag of it all is I'm begging for a restock. I take back everything I ever said. Please restock the shorts and the gray hoodie. I need it so bad.
I also like, there was one that I liked. It's like the black hoodie that I thought was like mm-hmm. really the one that has her on the back with the
and TTPD
black dog
on
cover.
The front.
Like, huh, now that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. No, that's kind of cute.
That's kind of interesting. But
but anyone who buys jewelry from the Taylor Swift store is a fucking dumbass. Good luck with your gangrene.
Yeah. You shouldn't be doing that. Especially
this,
not
this
earrings.
Woman at my gym the other day was wearing the bejeweled, like the bracelet from Eras. And I was like, that's such
people
a strange thing to buy. Yeah. And I was like, is it good? She was like, oh, it broke like 2 times, but I just like glued the clasp back on. I was like, that's too much.
She
effort.
Loves it. She's like, this is my favorite bracelet.
She's like, this is
I'm
and it's
nursing
not,
it
it's
back
not
to
even
health.
That cute. It's not even
no,
that
it's kinda
cute.
Ugly.
Really. That is the issue. So yeah, we clapped and cheered for the merch for once in our goddamn lives. Torture Poets has, of course, been a record-breaking endeavor. We might just read through some of the accomplishments to really get a scale of the success. Greatest album ever made, we knew that. It is number one, of course, on the Billboard 200 album charts with historic numbers, her 14th chart-topping title, tying her with Jay-Z for the second most number one albums by any act in the 68 year, oh my God, I literally can't speak. In the history of the Billboard's flagship album chart, only the Beatles, Madeline's favorite band in the whole world, mm-hmm. with 19 number ones, have more. In its first week, it sold the equivalent of 2.6 million album sales. That's over a million more than 1989, which was like famously her best-selling album, I suppose, until Midnight's maybe. But that is the biggest overall first week take for any album since Adele's 25 in 2015, which opened with nearly 3.5 million. That's crazy.
Really? I didn't know
that. Actually
that.
Is crazy.
That
Adele
really gags me.
Shifting records. She also withheld 25 from streaming back then, and it was her first album after 21. So I think she just had all that momentum kind of locked and loaded and ready to go. So it sold 1.9 million copies in traditional album sales. That's crazy, including 859,000 vinyls. She sold more vinyls than she did CDs, I guess. And her last record was 693,000. That is also, you know, due in part to tinted vinyl variants, CDs, cassettes, autographed ones, on-brand trinkets, the New York Times likes to call it. It also had the third biggest result since SoundScan, the predecessor of Luminate, began tracking reliable sales data in 1991. Ahead of it are only NSYNC's No Strings Attached, released in 2025. This is really, I mean, it's really something else. She's trying to, I know she wants to break that Adele record. And she will.
I wonder if it's even possible at this point in culture and history to break the NSYNC record. I don't know.
It's crazy.
It's the NSYNC record is really intense.
It was everything, apparently.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I was there. And let me tell you, I was cheering and I was clapping. No strings attached. Burm, burm, burm. Well, yeah, I was a kid. I was like a little girl. I was like, Daddy, what? I wanted an NSYNC record.
And you got it. Me.
And I got it.
You are one of the millions. As recently, you know what I found so interesting about this? In 2006, only 900,000 vinyls were sold in the U.S. in an entire year. Taylor Swift just sold 900,000 vinyls basically in this year. So when we say that Taylor revitalized vinyl, I think that's true. I mean, I know other artists have been doing it, but like, I think Taylor really spearheaded a movement here.
So I actually had one of my friends, I posted about it. I made a comment similar to that like a year ago or something. I was like, it was about Record Store Day and how there was a record store who was like refusing to carry Taylor Swift because Taylor Swift is evil, this, that, and the other thing, whatever. And I was like, that's idiotic because I guess you just don't.
Why? That always happens. If you don't have the video copy of the podcast, my camera randomly just did a thumbs down. And you know what? True.
Yeah, true. Yeah, exactly. So I it's idiotic to not sell Taylor Swift in your record store. It's fucking dumb. So I posted like, you're fucking stupid. Like, do you not want to make sales? Do you not like, have you not recognized that she's one of the artists? She's not the artist, but she's one of the artists who has been like championing and spearheading this fucking revitalization.
And all you do is complain about how you're not making any money. So and like, my maybe friend was swap like, Taylor Swift.
That's not true. She's not the, I was like, well, I mean, it's kind of true, but you know, when it's like it your friend and you're like, oh yeah. But secretly, I was
my
like,
friend sent me something fucking crazy the other day. Actually, I need to like read this out because sometimes I think that people take my like my criticisms of Taylor and they think that I want to hear mean things about her. And so she sent me a video of I Can Do It with a Broken Heart being performed live on the Eras Tour. And her response gagged me. She said, okay, but why is she acting like her money-hungry capitalistic ass is forced to do these things just because she was heartbroken? Like, have you ever heard of a conservatorship, babes? I was gagged by this. I literally was like, what did I respond? I responded, what is this hateration? That's so not what this is about. Like, are you kidding? She's not allowed to be brokenhearted on the Eras Tour? What does that have to do with her being money hungry and capitalistic? No one's forcing her to. Yeah, well, she's got sold out shows booked until the end of the year. She can't just be like, I'm heartbroken. Goodbye.
Right. I think that that's a, I hate this term, but I'm just going to use it, a bad faith interpretation of the song.
It is.
I recently
And she's going
saw,
to the Eras Tour. She's going to three Eras shows.
Well,
I'm like,
girl.
She needs
to lock it up. She needs to lock it up.
I'm going to tell you who she is after this, and we're going to find her.
I saw a TikTok, like on my mindless scrolling, I saw a TikTok, and what I saw was the inside of a private jet. And the caption was, oh, this is where they torture the alleged poet. And it was about how, like, oh, she.
You know what? I hate
it's like,
that.
But it's not even about, like, you're not
you
even
don't
understanding
get
it.
It.
You're
you
not getting it.
You literally don't get it.
You're
She's not even
it.
The tortured poet. Like, that's
what
you're
you
just
don't
not
get.
Understanding.
That's what you don't get. You don't get it.
I hate
you
these
just
people.
Don't get it.
I hate it here, so I will go to Lunar
why
Palace.
Did I, why
literally.
Did we go off on that? Oh, because she sold a lot of vinyl. I think at this point, like, I think everybody who has a record store or is interested in vinyl and records and the physical collection of art and not just everything being on streaming, you need to stand your ass up and say, thank you, Taylor Swift. I'll say it. Yes. I'll say it. I'm not
get
scared
up.
Anymore.
Get your up. Ass up and start clapping.
Yep. That's what I'm saying.
Another article that I found very interesting that we can discuss was by Sinead O'Sullivan in The New Yorker, and she called it the challenge of reviewing Taylor Swift's music. And in it, she argues that critics and fans interpret Taylor's work differently. So critics emphasize the musical components, what they don't like about tortured poets, and they see uninspired lyrics. But the fans pick up on deeper narrative layers and how the references, you know, kind of encompass different things. And she said that there's a cultural and a business strategy to Taylor Swift that people are missing, which is that she's not really just producing music anymore. She's creating like a Marvel, a Star Wars, a cinematic universe that blurs the line between artist and mega corporate brand, which is very true and part of it as well. But a quote from this that I liked, even if the Swiftverse can't be bought and sold by investors, that doesn't mean that investors aren't watching. So she's kind of extrapolating on Taylor being a corporate brand. Earlier this year, Ray Dalio, the founder of the and owner of the Bridgewater, the world's largest hedge fund, half jokingly endorsed Swift for the United States presidency after attending one of her Eras performances in Singapore. I saw the power of this American cultural icon and the power of that sort of American culture in influencing how the balance of geopolitical powers go. That level of global influence does not go hand in hand with the critical reception of unfulfilled lyrical potential and uninspiring chord progressions published soon after Taylor's 31-track double album release. Critics are, of course, within their rights to dislike the torture pose department, and they should be able to do so without fear of dying by a thousand Swiftie-inflicted cuts. But any critique of Taylor's work that doesn't consider her role as one of the most prominent narrators of our time, and certainly anything that critiques her work as one-dimensional when she's playing a kind of 4D chess, will fail to speak to even the most casual of her fans. And without an understanding of the Swiftverse, very little of her music or Taylor Swift herself will ever make any sense.
And that's period. You don't get it. You just don't get it. I can't say it enough times. And it's on period. I mean, I haven't really been sticking my feet in a lot of the critical reception. With this record, I'm saying I just really don't care what any of you people say.
We'll have it. Thank you. You don't get it.
It's ours.
No problem.
The only person that I really, just because I just love to look at that bald head and throw
I know who it is.
It's Anthony Fantano, bald cap and a pair of glasses, et cetera,
et cetera. If he doesn't get it, you've done something right. He was literally out here praising radical floptimism after like completely tearing torture poets apart. And that to me is insane. That like,
and you know why?
Insane.
And I would bet $1 million. It's because the Tame Impala guy is involved. And he's a Tame Impala person and this, that, and the other thing. It's like, okay, be less transparent about what you like about mm-hmm. music.
He likes men music. And I'm also kind of like, if you do, then why are you reviewing all of the pop girls? Leave them alone.
I'm saying. What's wrong with saying this isn't for me and I'm not going to get into it? Like, you don't have to listen to pop.
Yeah.
You don't have to. Nobody's making you.
If it's not for you and like the heel turn that he did on Lana, like I can't with him.
No.
But again, it's like if you refuse to engage in Swiftieism at this point, you're just not going to get what's going on. Unfortunately, that is a plus and a minus. It's great for us. It's great for like building the Taylor Swift Marvel right. brand. But I think it is going to alienate Taylor from the casual listener. Like, who are there any casual listeners left? Really is the question. But I think that, you know, she's going to become more abstract to the music industry, and the music industry is only going to be able to see the things they don't like about her, which is that she's everywhere and that she like monopolizes all the attention and they will fail to see that what she's doing is actually really different, because you actually kind of can't just evaluate them as songs. It's not just that anymore.
Yeah. And that's something that, like you said, is good and bad. Like I kind of feel like I can't really talk to my brother about the new Taylor Swift record anymore. We used to be able to do that. We can't do that anymore.
No,
because
you can't.
Like, he's just like completely out of the scope, and it's like, why would he know all these even though he grew up with me and he's known Taylor Swift for as long as I have, like he doesn't know all
it.
These finer details, and it kind of pisses me off, because I'm like, you know what, this is so good, and I feel like people should be able to like see that. But it sometimes, I don't think it's every song, but like, I mean, for example, I think you could listen to I Hate It Here and not need any, you know what I mean, and think that that was good. But like all the curtains and the shrouds and the layers and
well,
the what
Guilty
this really means
is well, one Guilty- of the greatest songs on the record, and
well,
that
period.
Is incomprehensible nonsense to you if you know nothing about what it's about.
Exactly.
Like, it makes no sense if you don't know what she's talking about.
He Sent Me Downtown Lights. I hadn't heard it in a while. This boredom is bone deep.
Am I allowed to cry?
It's like, what is she talking about? It's like, I don't even have
You're
time
like,
to tell you.
No, and I shan't bother you. To explain, because
Fresh
it's
Out
too
the
precious.
Slammer also is like in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what the fuck she's talking about, it's in tongues. And it's like, I wonder if there's a casual listener who just can be like, this is written well. I have no idea what she's talking about, but it's written well. Sometimes I
Did
think
you
that
notice
about Lana.
That those two songs were either ignored or panned in reviews, Guilty as Sin and Fresh Out the Slammer.
Because they knew they couldn't even begin to conceptualize or understand or grasp.
And that's why they like, and a lot of the reviews pointed to Florida as one of the best songs. And like,
Deranged.
Real Swifties know that there's nothing substantive in there. Like, that's not a good song. I understand that people have their delusional interpretations of it, but it's so vague that I guess it can be applied to anything, which makes it easily understandable. Because a lot of
and
people
like,
you don't get it. And I'm like, no, babe, there's nothing
to get. I understand it perfectly.
Nothing to
I've
get.
Had people in my mentions trying to tell me I need to watch Scarface. Me, Madeline. Me, Madeline Rubicam, you need to watch Scarface. Do I look like I'm going to be watching Scarface? Who are you talking to? And I need to watch Scarface.
Well, they're
Scarface.
Also saying you got to visit Destin, Florida. And it's like, baby, no. Taylor Swift's never been there. She's
I
never been
be
there. And
there.
She wrote the song.
If the only reason I would set foot in the state of Florida is to visit
Scrappy-Doo.
Disneyland. Period.
I'm dead in Miami. I'd go find him.
Well,
and that's it.
To be fair, I would go to Miami. I would love to go to Miami. Miami, mm-hmm. Gorgina,
well,
beautiful Camilla Cabello.
We've been trying to go to Miami, but they don't want us there.
They literally they do don't. Not want us. We said, like, we put up the option,
please,
can we come to Miami? And they said, no.
No.
Too white.
They said,
too white.
You said too many mean things about the new Camilla Cabello love yeah. letter to Miami, so please
so
don't
please
come.
Stay out.
Stay out. And our last topic that we have to discuss for today's Taylor Talk is Swift Talk. It was kind of insane that Taylor was able to get her music back on TikTok in advance of the Tortured Poets Department. I think all that's available is everything on her Republic Records contract and the TVs. So none of the prior recorded stolen versions are available. But basically, the TikTok Universal Music Group clash is one of the most dramatic industry scuffles in years. And on February 1st, after, you know, each company slandered each other about not caring about artists. First of all, these are fucking corporations. Neither of them care about artists. So there's no point having a competition about who does because they both don't. But Universal said that Universal was criticized by TikTok for punishing their artists by taking the music off streaming. Valid. And TikTok was being criticized by Universal for not compensating them fairly. But we never got any details as to like what the deals were. They were just like doing slandering in public. It was like corporate on corporate crime, which I don't care about. Like, you guys can fight until you die. I really don't give a shit. But all of Universal Music Group music suddenly then disappeared from the app. And this really, I think, was so unfair. And it hurt a lot of independent smaller artists because it's been, as you know, Madeline, a very busy release season. People are putting stuff out. And it seemed like it wasn't going to end anytime soon. But guess who the one exception to that rule was? Ms. Swift.
As usual,
she,
by the way.
Got her music, and it was right before the album came out, right? It was like a week before they put it all back. I mean,
and
her power.
It can really, like, I think at this point, I think there's no point in denying it. A TikTok, like, your song going viral on TikTok can really make a big difference, especially to a smaller artist. Like, a song gets popular on TikTok? Oh, yeah. She should be.
Chapel would be nothing without TikTok, like, because because she was dropped by her label and then re-signed, like, it was fan momentum that made Chapel what she is, and that's why she has such a devoted fan base and why she's popping off right now.
Right.
So to take that away from her, like when Good Luck Babe was coming out, I remember she made a TikTok and was like really sad about the fact that she couldn't post it. It went viral anyway, inshallah, because you know
that's
if it's that
talent.
Good, it will catch on.
It's called talent.
Talent. But it's really, I feel like it's really unfair for Taylor to be allowed to like go back on and do it and then other artists don't. It's like that's not helping the you're sucking up all the air in the room allegations.
Yeah, and it's also like, well, I mean, if you could get your music back on, is there anything that you can do for, you know, somebody else? Because Chapel's on UMG, is she not? Like, they're technically label mates. So it's like
Taylor also doesn't need to go viral for her album to be a success. That's the other thing. Like, it was gonna do amazing with or without TikTok.
Right.
So we love other artists, but when Taylor is always posting about other artists, but when it comes down to the wire, well, you know what? To be fair, they reached a deal quite shortly after that. So perhaps Taylor did have a hand in it.
Maybe
we don't
she
know
did.
What she does
well,
behind
we don't,
the scenes.
We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And, you know, maybe that's it. We shan't speculate. But I kind of wonder when this is kind of like
I do believe she cares about other artists. I do.
I do. Like, for the record, I do. Like, I definitely do. She's time and time again made numerous attempts to platform other artists and to help other artists when she absolutely did not have to. But I'm kind of waiting for her to say something about Chapel Roan. Anybody else? Anybody else waiting for the Tayrone of it
all? Well, a certain subsect of people are going to go absolutely crazy when she does acknowledge Chapel Roan, and I do wonder if that plays into her decision maybe not to.
Well, you know what?
But
she does.
Perhaps she just hasn't heard of her yet. She's been busy.
Well, she's been collecting.
Busy.
Well, it's like you put Muna on the tour. You're doing the Girl in Red thing.
But also, Madeline, who was Chapel just on tour with?
Miss Olivia Rodrigo. That's actually kind of true. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, wouldn't the pettier thing
working with the producer that working with the producer that publicly criticized Taylor indirectly for
Dan
the
Nigro,
credit stealing?
Dan Nigro published.
Oh
Dan Nigro?
Yeah,
what
he
did he
said,
say?
He said something to the effect of, It's funny how everybody loves to be cited as an inspiration, but when it comes down to the wire, they're like,
oh, about the cruel summer thing. Said, okay. Yes, okay. That makes sense. Thing. Well, I mean, he was involved. That makes sense that he would kind of be like, fuck off. Mm-hmm. Like that does make sense to me.
So Chapel works very closely with him, and I don't know. I mean, that's just pure speculation.
I know that Chapel she sang Love Story at one of her shows, so I don't think she's an auntie. I don't think Chapel's like, I hate Taylor Swift.
Certainly not. If certainly anything, not. It's not coming from her if they're not talking, right. Obviously. Right. But she's also small. She's still growing. She's still growing.
We need the Tayrone. I'm waiting.
Come on. Let's do it,
come
baby.
Come on, let's do it, baby.
Did you see that she added I Love It by Camila Cabello to her pre-tour playlist?
Yes, yes. I was like, I was thinking about it. Like, Zach and I were just talking about how they're like not friends mm-hmm. anymore. And then Taylor's like, let mm-hmm. me just stick I Love It right on the pre-show playlist. It's like,
I can't
okay.
do an Instagram post because that's a little embarrassing, but I'm going to put it here. I mean, it's will fun. I be shaking ass to I Go oh, Soprano yes. when you go down low? I will.
And you know Lana loves it. I'm sure Lana and Taylor are like Lana love it, I love it. So good.
She added other songs too. I think she added like an Ice Spice song. She already had an Ice Spice song.
She added the Maisie Peters History Why? Of Man, which is so Taylor Why? To do that, by the way. That song Why? Is like it literally was inspired like if
and
you
nothing
listen
for
to
Gracie
the song,
Abrams Risk.
Not yet. I mean, who knows when the album comes out? I'm sure something will wind up on that
old
playlist.
I think Espresso should be on that playlist. I want to be saying that's that me Espresso before Taylor comes on. I'm ready for that.
Hold on. We need that.
We need it.
We need that desperately. Like water.
Come on.
Like me Espresso. We need it like me Espresso.
We literally need that me Espresso. Well, I think that about wraps up everything that we need to talk about on Taylor Talk. If you're interested in hearing more from us, patreon.com/odologist. That's where it's going to be. And we're slowly approaching our show. And we will see you, I guess, in Phonosnake, which is now public. So next week. Goodbye, divas.